financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rayum.
Hi, it's Frances. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Frances Rayum. Hi.
Hey, Jess, how are you?
And we have a familiar face with us today.
We do. Today, we're actually turning our attention to something that's heartwarming and hugely impactful right here in our own backyard. For over two decades, the North Quabbin Food-a-thon has rallied our support to support local food pantries and families in need. And it's more than just a fundraiser. It's a living example of what small towns can accomplish when people come together with a purpose, Jess. So with us today is someone who's been part of that purpose from the very beginning, at least I think from the very beginning. It's Jay Dean. So welcome, Jay.
This is old home days. I mean, Jess and I have this every day. It's like, it's so nice.
Well, you know, I should prep listeners to know and watchers to know that we're going to flip back and forth between, you know, what it's like to be in the studio with you guys and what it's like to be at the Food-a-thon. So you folks may know Jay. You might recognize his voice from local radio like WJDF, where Jay and I first met, well, so many years ago, to Pure Oldies, which is what he's on now. Or you might recognize his voice from audiobooks you've read because he's a professional voiceover artist. But he's also been a driving force behind this event for, dare I say, 22 years, Jay?
Since 2004. Yeah, I can't believe it's been that long, but 2000 was the first one.
All right, we'll give you 21, head to 22 years now. So I can't wait to hear your perspective on how this all began. What's become of this year's Food-a-thon, and what do they have in store for us this year?
Well, I mean, do you want to know how it started? Or
I do.
Yeah.
Let's start there.
Well, in that time, I want to give credit to someone who's not been involved because he moved out of the area. But there were four of us that were basically the steering committee. Rick Kwiatkowski was the town manager or town administrator in Orange. He and I just struck up a friendship. My brothers and I, of course, ran the JDF station from day to day. And one day I was just talking, you know, we'd like to come up with something that has some impact, that will kind of, you know, something we can do every year. And he talked about something that he had done with a small station. He was a town manager in Charlton previous years. He said, well, they used to do this food drive and yada, 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 and raised a little money. And so I said, well, let's try that. We could do that, maybe block off 12 hours, do like a 6A to 6P thing and see where you can get with it. And my youngest brother says, you're nuts. What are you, crazy? You're going to talk for 12 hours? Who's going to listen to that? I always give him grief about it.
How do you say that again, Jay? You're nuts.
And there was probably more colorful language than that, but at any rate. So I think that all of us were just kind of, well, we play music all the time. How's this going to work? So between Rick and myself, then I said, let's call Carol Corville at AOTV, who runs the public access station. The other person that came on to the committee is a name that might be familiar to the Western Mass area. Amy Clark was the executive director of the Franklin County Community Meals Program. So because it was the biggest entity we were aware of, I think we started off maybe with four pantries. Now it's six. But it was Amy, myself, Carol, and Rick on the steering committee. So we set up the day, got it all arranged. Carol brought some people over, public access has it just exploded too in terms of its technology. But she had cameras that were hardwired through the cable system, which helped us out too. And we did a 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. thing. And we thought, well, it'd be nice if we could get, you know, this is Amy's words, if we could fill up the trunk of a car and get $500 for each pantry. And I think there were four. Well, that first year, we also had Pete Gary from Pete's Tire donated or let us use one of the 18-foot box trucks.
Wow.
We had one at, I think it was Hannaford, and we had one in front of the station in the center of town. We filled two 18-foot box trucks and raised $13,000 in 12 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, people really do care about this.
Yep.
You know, I have a little minor involvement with it this year. And when Jay asked me, I said, yeah, of course I would do this. I mean, who doesn't want to feed people in need and feed families in need?
Yeah.
And yet with the grocery prices where they are right now, I can't imagine a year where this was more needed than this year. I just,
yeah,
it's astonishing. I mean, even commercials for cell phones are coming out with things like grocery prices are up. It's a cell phone commercial, okay? Everybody's using this, but it never hits stronger than when somebody who already is having trouble feeding themselves or their family has to tolerate these kinds of prices. So, you know, thanks for giving us some feel for who launched it. I think off air, you mentioned Monty to me.
Well,
can you
that's
talk
what
a little
I just
bit
wanted
about
to say. I don't know, and Jess could obviously fill me in better on this. I don't know how long the walk has been going on, but I mean, it's just, I feel an affinity because everybody gets into that. This is something we can do and this feels good and you help somebody or you don't know who you're helping. I mean,
right.
You know what
That's
I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, it's just one of those good karma things that you feel good about when you're done.
I
kind of bow to Monty in terms of how big that event is. The other blessing we have is that with all sincere sympathies to his family, I just can't imagine. But Jim McGovern has always been involved with us too, and he comes on during the course of the broadcast. I think last year he literally had his cell phone. He was shooting himself on the cell phone as he was walking from his office to the Capitol for a session. But, you know, did his interview with us and talked about his whole thing has always been in this country, this should be fixable. People shouldn't go hungry. It is fixable. And as you said, Francis, I saw something. Worcester County Food Bank and Food Bank of Western Massachusetts both come on and interview with us as well. And I just saw some publicity about the Worcester County Food Bank. There's some sort of a shipment that didn't happen because of things that are getting cut. And it's like, you know, close to $475,000 worth of something. You know that's going to have an impact.
Wow, that's like five cartons of eggs now. You know, Jess, you know a lot about what happens with Monty, I think, right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
He's been doing it about 14, 15 years at least, and he does a 43-mile walk from Springfield to Greenfield is where it ends up. And as you were saying, Congressman Jim McGovern does the whole 43 miles. The other thing that's really great in this area is all the local legislators get involved. Like you'll see Lindsay Sabadosa out there. You'll see Joe Comerford. The mayors in the cities will come out during that day where they are, East Hampton Mayor Nicole LaChapelle. They all really get involved. And this walk that Monty does is just a really big part of the Western Mass Food Bank, the budget. Because it raises just so much money. I think it was close to $1 million last year.
That's amazing. Oh, for folks who don't know Monty, let's give him a last name.
Monty Belmonte.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's amazing the amount of money that, as Jay pointed out, you can actually have a part in doing. You can do something about this. This is an opportunity, a real opportunity, to get involved in some way. We'll talk in the second half, I think, about how people can get involved, but you could volunteer, you could donate, right? You could participate in different ways, but you can make a difference in your own community.
What's amazing to me is that when COVID hit, the food collection part of it kind of went south, and yet it kind of averages around, I don't know, 30,000 every year, it seems like. But that first year in COVID, it just went to monetary donations. Mm. We got like $50,000
Amazing.
In that year. Yeah.
Do we have a goal for this? Do we have a
No, that's it's funny
benchmark?
That as part of the long-standing steering committee, people always bring that up and I get kind of irate.
Well, happy to make you mad, Jay.
Why don't you calm down, Jay? But the thing is, the problem has been, if you say, oh, we've got a goal of this amount of money, you know what the first question from the media is? Did you hit your goal? No, you know, it's not important. The goal isn't important. To me, the importance is just give what you can, and it doesn't matter whether it's a dollar or some of the businesses that cut checks for $1,000, $2,000. It doesn't matter. Every little bit helps, and it's just that, you know, I guess it's just a matter of, I realize people are always goal-oriented, but this, to me, was always, we just try to raise as much money as we can in 12 hours' time. And that's
well,
why
you know what your answer can be, Jay.
What?
Yes, we hit our goal. We fed a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's the goal, to feed people.
I know we're going to get to it in the second half, but I do want to just let people know what is the date of this year's event?
It is Tuesday, May 20th, 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. It's always the third Tuesday in May, Tuesday, May 20th.
And what's your goal this year, Jay? No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing you. I'm teasing you, I promise. But, you know, when we've had like a lot of the legislators on talking about this, and I think it was East Hampton Mayor LaChapelle who said, like, when she was a kid, she had to take advantage of some of these services. So this is a thing, like, you never know when you might need help. So if you are able to help when you don't need it that year, that's wonderful. Because, you know, by next year, you could need it. You don't know.
It's funny, many people will, although the food donation part of it has kind of stepped down, people still bring bags or whatever. And it's funny, in the first couple of years, we were always moved by people who wanted to bring diapers, you know, diapers or products for, you know, women's products or pet food or, you know, just things that you wouldn't necessarily think of.
What kind of women's products, Jay?
Help with.
What kind of women's products could you get specific?
Well, no, I think people would bring.
I'm
saying that people would think, you know, this might be something that they just can't afford. You know, it's,
right?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
At the holidays, we usually do a pet food drive, and it's very popular that people just come and leave cans of pet food, you know, and pet blankets and things, as long as they're new and clean. And I know there are criteria, so. So just before we go to break, Jay, can you tell us a little bit about how many pantries are involved and the different kinds of ways people can donate? They can donate monetarily. They can bring food. Give us some details about that.
I would say the food part of it, you could probably drop off things. We'll have crews both at the Hannaford and Athol and the Market Basket as well. It benefits six pantries. The one that would be most familiar to people in this area is the Franklin County Community Meals Program, because they have several community meals and pantries as well. They have a pantry in Orange. Also, the Athol Salvation Army, St. Vincent de Paul of St. Mary's Church has a pantry that they maintain. The Our Lady Immaculate Church group in Athol, several churches, and they also put together a pantry where they set up, you know, things for people to pick up. The community food pantry at Athol High School, Shirley Mitchell has, over the past couple of years, has just done amazing work to get the kids involved, and they see how important it is. Also, the Wendell Good Neighbors Food Pantry, and they are also our fiscal sponsor. We, at one point, as a collective group, were going to try to make it a 501c3 foodathon, quote unquote, but it only happens once a year. So it's more foundational than it is, you know, a nonprofit. So they are the fiscal agent. So that's it. Yeah, that's the six. Salvation Army, Community Meals Program, Wendell Good Neighbors, St. Vincent de Paul, the Athol High School, and Our Lady Immaculate Church. The easiest way for people to donate is to, if they want, and they can do it right now, is to go to nqfoodathon.com. And on that website, there is a Venmo and a PayPal portal. And anything is appreciated, you know.
We're going to have much more coming up. But first, Francis, can I get your phone number?
Of course. It's 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back with Jay Dean and the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, with part two of Financial Fitness on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, and special guest Jay Dean. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Okay, Jay, I have to ask you for some fun things, you know, about what it's like to be at the Foodathon. What would surprise people about what happens behind the scenes?
Oh, boy.
If anything.
No, it's, you know, it's funny from the radio perspective, and you both can talk from this perspective, too. You just get in front of the mic and kind of talk. And to be honest with you, the TV part is pretty much the same, although, you know, from the control room, sometimes something will come over the speaker and say, you got to wrap it up. It's almost 15 minutes, you know, or no, it's a lot of fun. It really is. And, you know, the thing is, I never would pay attention to on the radio, obviously, is you see the monitor and you can see what they're shooting. You know what I'm saying? So you can move around while somebody gets into their seat. And, you know, it's TV is kind of much bigger on screen than you think it is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's,
you know, but no, TV is a different game. TV is a different game for sure. But you interview people, right? Can you paint a picture of what this Foodathon is like for somebody who's never seen it?
Well, we're going to have some segments, obviously, that so we can take a break from talking for 12 hours straight. And I'm very tickled that Ask Me Now is going to be part of one of those musical breaks. That's going to be great stuff. But no, people come in, and like anything else, you know this, it's stories. I mean, think of all the people that have come through that have, you know, for Hug Your Money. It's the stories that are compelling when people come in and say, you know, the first or second year, and sadly, this gentleman's passed away. But he was a younger man, very handsome. He was a construction worker, heard us do the broadcast, came down to the station and said, I want to do this. He cut a check for $500 and left it with us.
Oh, that's
great.
He went away.
You know, a big, burly, handsome guy. Came in maybe an hour and a half later, crying. I didn't do enough. He gave us another $500.
Oh.
The stories are just, you know, there was a time when I had to eat, you know, little noodles and, you know, I want to do this. It's been okay for me the past few years. I can do this. I can help. And I'll tell you, by the time 5 o'clock gets there, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, people start to get teary-eyed just because, you know,
It must be something when the donations really start to happen. You have this concept, you know, we're going to get on the air. We're going to line up some guests. We're going to have some breaks. And we're going to hang on the edge of the cliff for 12 hours and hope that people will be kind and generous. And when that comes to fruition, when you start to see those donations rolling in, what's that feel like?
Because as we're talking, I'm forgetting about some of the things that happen as you go through each hour. Carol Corville, who's directing this whole thing, and a crew of, like I said, there's probably 100 volunteers that go around, get the money, count it up, and bring us hourly updates on, you know, how it's going. Yeah. So when you're at like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon and you're at, you know, $14,000-$15,000, you're going, wow, you know, this came in since 6 this morning.
Yeah.
We have, you know, it's just moving. It's,
I know you have some businesses that are particularly generous, and they may remain anonymous. They may wish to remain anonymous. But is there anyone that you feel that you can, without embarrassing them or calling them out, point to that has gone above, you know, above the over and above the top?
Well, I mean, the obvious one that comes to mind for me is Pete. And I don't want to exclude any other businesses, but I've known and I worked for Pete at Pete's Tire Barns for 6 years in the office. And he's got like 20 tire dealerships all over New England. He treats his employees very, very well. He's very generous to the community. Will buy so much material, Christmas time hams and whatever, and donates it to food banks. But no, each year he usually cuts a check from Pete's for like $5,000 and gets some tire dealerships to kick in. So he's, you know, comes in every year right around noontime with a check around $10,000. It's just,
yeah, that's amazing.
He's just so dedicated to it. And I often will, when we interview him, I think he gets a little embarrassed, and I'd say, you just do so much for the community, you know. It's, and he goes, well, the community's been very good to me and to the company. He says, I got to give back, you know. It's, yeah.
Well, that's what this is all about, right?
And many, many companies take part in this too. And I would encourage people again to visit the nqfoodathon.com. You can see a listing of many of the businesses that have donated. And they do it year in and year out. I mean, cut some big checks. And, you know, you cut a check for $100 and you don't realize how far that will really go to get, you know, to buy the supplies or get the food. But as you said, Francis and Jess, you know, too, right? This year, you watch the news and shake your head and go, you know, how are you going to survive with this? And the reason I love this so much is that it's local money. It comes in and it gets sent right back out to those pantries, divided up evenly.
You have an interesting career as a voiceover professional and as a DJ. You know, can you just tell us a little bit about, like, what made you choose that career? How did that begin?
Going way back?
Yeah, going way back. What,
I think
lit
my
your
mother
fire?
Brought me to WCAT over in Orange, and I saw them playing records. And most people don't even know what records are. But, I mean, it just fascinated me. And I think as a kid, I used to watch American Bandstand and thought Dick Clark was as slick as you know what.
Yeah. Do people recognize your voice in public?
I think some people just know me and they say, oh, I heard you talk about this or that and the other thing. There's been a couple times where I'll go, oh, I know you from someplace.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very gratifying. I enjoy doing it. It's, I know Jess and I talk about this all the time. We recently did the River Rat Race. It was so much fun seeing people just come up to you. And, well, I remember Jason Rushford, he'd come up and say, Jess, I listen to you every morning, you know? So
yeah, I love
nice.
That.
Really nice, yeah.
Well, we were talking the last half too, really quickly. I just wanted to get back to something you said, that the students really get involved. What are they doing to help? I know you mentioned that.
Well, Shirley has a whole crew of kids that just come in to help stack the shelves of things they have there, or, you know, do administrative tasks. And some of the kids will come down, I'm sure, during the food-a-thon and just, you know, we interview them, say, how's it going? You know, what do you find most gratifying about this? Yeah, it's just, here's one thing. I got to tell you this. Since we've been doing this from 2004, and Francis asked me about, you know, people recognizing you. Well, they didn't recognize me necessarily, but I went through the thing at Hannaford, maybe, you know, picking up some groceries. Let's say it was 2013, and I had a food-a-thon hat on or something, and the young person at the register said, oh, I grew up the food-a-thon.
What?
You know,
that's
the
amazing.
Other memory I got to tell you about real quick, unfortunately we don't do this now because of the food collection isn't what it used to be. But the Dexter Park School and Fisher Hill School, which is in the center of Orange, maybe a mile from the center of town, maybe not that far, the kids would put a bunch of food in wagons and pull the wagons down to the food-a-thon event.
Oh,
and there was never a dry eye anywhere when they saw that. and we'd interview the kids. We'd say, you know, why did you do this? Well, some people are hungry, and that shouldn't be.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Kids are the best. Kids just totally get it. How can you get involved in the Foodathon?
Well, in terms of last-minute activities, I'm not quite sure. As we lead up to it, what we do is in the center of Orange, in the center of Athol, when you drive through, they'll be collecting money as you drive through. So as we lead up to the event each year, they're always looking for people who want to maybe, you know, you basically stand in the street and you have to sign some forms to, you know, to sign off on things. And it has to be somebody 18 or older. But, you know, there's that way. I'm sure each of the pantries, again, you can get information, their contact information from the website. They would always welcome any kind of help, too. I'm sure.
If you're a business listening to the show today and you decide, hey, I would like to get involved, maybe do like matching donations for an hour, would they be able to do that? Could they call somewhere to find out how to get involved?
If someone were to come from a business and stop down to the event on that day with a check,
that would be great.
We would welcome them to come in and sit down for a second and just ask the question, like, you know, to create another story. What motivated you to do this? Mm. You know, it's, I just hope we see a lot more people just thinking, boy, yeah, the world is crazy. The news is crazy. Things are getting cut. This is one way I can help.
Well, I know that with rising costs, you know, every family's looking out for themselves and worried about going to the grocery store themselves. But for just a moment, think about whether your big problem is whether you buy salmon or chicken, and somebody else's is about whether they eat or not.
Yeah.
If you just have a couple of dollars and think it's not going to make a difference, all that stuff adds up. So if you're someone that has like an extra $5, like that's welcome, because that adds up quickly.
You know, those are sometimes the donations I think mean the most. You know, Jay, I just want to thank you so much for sharing your time and your lovely voice and your heart with us today. And you have such passion about this.
Can I just drop in the place where they can probably watch it? Obviously, in the Western Mass area and out of the cable system in Athol and Orange, the easiest thing to do is to watch it on AOTV13. That's 1 and 3, not spelled out. AOTV13.org. That will, the entire event will be streamed. And like I said, Francis, if they just watch it, I mean, just becoming aware of it helps, you know, because it might be the thing that just makes the switch flip for somebody to say, you know, that's a good thing for us to donate to every year or on an ongoing basis. Some people do that. They set it up so that they donate $15 every month. Just comes out of there. I mean, you can do that, I think, with Venmo or PayPal.
Yes, and we'll put that information up so everybody can see it. I want to thank both of you for participating in this show and wishing the North Quabbin Foodathon all the best. And until then, I hope we can stay kind and connected and financially fit.
Jay, can we get the website one more time?
NQFoodathon.com.
All right, perfect. Jay Dean, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Francis Ram, let's get your phone number one more time.
Of course, it's 413-773-3333.
And as always, you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, right here on WHMP.
Financial literacy and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
I like that you're comparing this kind of to a video game because it almost makes it fun for kids.
I hope so. I mean, money can be fun. Money can be really fun if you know what to do with it. And especially if you're doing it better than you think your friends are, or better than you think your parents are even. And you're going, hey, my XP bar is chugging, right? Okay. It's great. Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the money doctor, Dr. Frances Ram. Hi.
Hi, Jess. How are you?
I'm good. We had such a fun episode last week with our kitty cat, and you had a special
Pablo.
Pablo the cat, the pirate. And yeah, we talked about some of the younger kids and tips for them with money. Now we're going to go a little bit older.
Yes, I think, you know, August is a good month to do this when the kids are still off school. They might catch this.
Yeah.
They might ask their parents some questions. And so what I'm attempting to do here is to teach kids something about money early on and to give parents the support they need to have these discussions with their kids and today with their teens, right? We're talking 11 to 15. So
yeah,
tweeners, teens. Yeah. So 11 to 15 today, basically. I'm just going to give you some tips that will help you to be better with money because it will really pay off in life.
Okay.
So imagine this, Jess. You're 11 to 15 years old. Let's pick an age. We'll say 13. And you've got some birthday money and it's kind of burning a hole in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You have these new sneakers you really want and you go to the store, you buy these brand new sneakers. Perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 4 minutes later in the pit of your stomach, terrible feeling, right? All your birthday money is gone. You just used it all to buy those sneakers. So,
and you saw 12 commercials of other things you want right after that.
Exactly. So here's the twist. Played a little differently, that same cash could have grown. So today I'm going to show you how that money doesn't have to just vanish and you can grow it so that you can get the things you want now, still save for later, and just learn to manage your money a little bit better so you don't end up in that situation that a lot of people end up in later in life saying, I wish someone had told me this earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say to adults, although I'm saying that this episode is for 11 to 15, listen up, adults. It's the same lessons. Same lessons. So we're going to use three quick stories and a couple of simple games and some moves that you can make this week if you're in that age group to be better about money, to learn about money and actually manage it well. Okay. So let's start with story one, the disappearing money trick. Okay.
Okay.
Now, remember I said, listen up adults. Okay. So let's meet Jamie. Jamie's got $50 from mowing lawns.
Okay.
On the way home, Jamie buys a soda, maybe a snack, maybe a small game purchase, some fries with some friends. Right.
There's the $50.
That's right. These are all typical things. By the end of the week, what's he got? Zero. Could be a sheep, Jamie, right? So they can't even remember where it went. You have to understand that money only flows two ways, right? I'm going to break this down very simply. Forget that it's anything scary that you might have heard about or anything bad or anything greedy. It's just money, okay? It's just got a name, like it's just a fork or it's just a car. It's just money.
Okay.
But in order to operate money, you have to understand how it works, at least at a basic level. And at the very most basic level, money only flows two ways. It's not a river that only flows downhill, right? It flows in and it flows out.
Okay.
That's it. Okay. Only flows in or out. If you don't control the flow, it's like having a hole in your pocket. First thing I'm going to do is give you a 24-hour challenge. All right, kids?
Okay.
24-hour challenge. Just 24 hours. I want you to track for the next day every penny you spend, every dollar you spend. It doesn't matter if it's on an app, if it's on paper. I don't care how you're tracking it. Just find a way to jot down everything you spend just for one day. Okay.
Okay.
Now that assumes that you are in fact spending money. So if you're not going to spend money tomorrow, this doesn't apply to you. Pick a day when you will be spending money. Okay.
Well, I'd assume most 11 to 15 year olds are spending mom or dad's money.
I think they are, but they still can track it. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And believe it or not, I mean, at those ages, sometimes they have a little side hustle, which we're going to talk about, and they may have some of their own money that they're spending. It may even be from an allowance, but it's considered their money and they're having to spend it. So track it for just 24 hours. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. Let's say that you have, you're spending $3. If you spend $3 five times, within, let's say, a week, right? So let's suppose you track this longer than 24 hours. That's $15, right? If you do that twice a week, it's $30. If you keep doing it for a whole, you know, for 4 weeks, that's $120. Now
This
we're
is
getting into
reminding
some.
me of getting a coffee every morning. Yes.
Yeah. Now we're getting into some real money. Okay. Story two, the $5 that changed everything. You know that XP bar, that the experience point bar that you have on games? You know how it chugs along? Yeah. Well, someone told me once at age 13 that if you save $5 a week, you'll never be broke. Well, no kidding. I mean, if you never spent anything and you save $5 a week, you'd never be broke. But I didn't really believe it at that time, but I tried it. And one week you save $5, it seems really tiny, right? But then that XP bar starts chugging along. It starts filling in. $5 becomes 20, right? If you save it for 4 weeks, it's 20. $20 becomes 100. After a year, you could buy something, or maybe even sooner, that you really want, right? Without touching your emergency stash. So by just putting the money somewhere and continuing to add to it, you're already building up money. Okay. We're not even talking about interest yet. We're just talking about savings. There's a phrase called pay yourself first. I always, you know, bristle a little bit about this with adults because they can't always pay themselves first. That's a great idea. But if you're already in the thick of things, you can't just say, well, I'm not going to pay my electric bill. I'm going to pay myself first. But
100%, yeah.
From age 11 to 15, when you don't have to pay the electric bill, guess what habit you can form? You can start forming a habit to pay yourself first. And that's going to keep that XP bar, you know, growing.
Growing.
If you think of saving like an XP bar in a game, every $5 bumps the bar, right? If you stop adding, the XP bar just stays still. So if you want to keep the streak growing and level up, you got to keep adding $5, okay?
I like that you're comparing this kind of to a video game because it almost makes it fun for kids.
I hope so. I mean, money can be fun. Money can be really fun if you know what to do with it. And especially if you're doing it better than you think your friends are, or better than you think your parents are even. And you're going, hey, my XP bar is chugging, right? Okay, it's great. Okay, let's do a rapid fire round before we go to break really quickly. Okay. All right. Earning money without a job. You don't need a real job to earn money. Solve a problem, and you're going to earn money. It's that simple. Somebody can't shovel their sidewalk and you're going to shovel it for them. You can say, I'll shovel your sidewalk for a little money, right? I'm going to give you a bunch of ideas, quick, you know, rapid fire ideas. Kids will write into us with new ideas. But let's say pet sitting, dog walking, selling your old sneakers, not the really smelly ones, the ones you've outgrown that are still cool, that somebody else wants. Sneakers have become ridiculously expensive. So sell your old sneakers. Ask your parents first, obviously. Make custom bracelets or stickers. Tutor younger kids, maybe about money. Hey, guess what I learned that you don't know? Yard work, basic digital art commissions. If you think you're too young, that's exactly why you will surprise adults when you start saying, I want to be ready to help. I want to earn money doing this. And that's always when adults seem to be the most generous, when they're really impressed that some kid has a work ethic and wants to do something. So just pick one idea. Any of the things I listed or your own, just one, don't get overwhelmed, and try it just once and see what happens.
Okay, really interesting. Also, question for you. What are your thoughts on money for grades? I know a lot of parents do that where, like, if you get A's, you get $5, a B is $3, whatever it might be.
Wow, that's an
good lesson or bad
question.
Lesson.
You know, no one's ever asked me that.
Oh, okay.
So let's see, what do I think about that? I think any kind of an incentive that helps kids learn is worth using.
Okay.
I do worry a little bit about equating performance with money, particularly since as they get older and they go to college, they may want to be an artist or a musician who may not make a ton of money, right? And then they're starting to make a choice about, is that what they want to do for a living because it doesn't make that much money or not? So I'm way out there on this, but I think that those kinds of things have long-term effects. It might help for a short-term fix, especially like, hey, you know, you're struggling in this grade. You came home with a B minus. And if you come home with an A next quarter, here's what we're going to do. I would prefer to see it linked to an experience that might cost money. Like, we're going to take a trip, or we're going to go to the movies together, or we're going to have 24 hours of fun times where you don't do chores and I do. We're going to have a yes day. There was a movie with a yes day once that I saw.
I hear about that all of the time.
Yeah. I mean, just, you could have something fun like that, that the kids really want to work toward. I think also it's age driven, you know, to some kids that money will mean something, you know, really important to them. And to other kids, it will just be a little bit about greed. Like, where's my money, right? Where's that $5 you promised me? So, you know, as I always do, I defer to the parents on this. You know your kids better than anybody. Just be careful what you're teaching them and how you're teaching them.
Yeah, maybe instead of it being like $5 for an A, like that's the best, it's just $5 if you improve one grade level. So if you were at a D, you went to a C, or a C to a B.
I was just thinking that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Use it as an incentive, not a bribe.
Right.
I guess that's what I want to say. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we're going to get much more of this, but first I want to get your phone number.
Sure, it's 413-773-3333.
And you can also go to hugyourmoney.com. More money tips for, what are we on, 8 to 15? Is that what we said?
11 to 15. And I will
11
say,
to 15.
By the time this show airs, they will be able to email Pablo at info.
Oh,
at,
I love
Pablo
that.
Pablo at hugyourmoney. Yeah, Pablo at hugyourmoney.com.
All
He's
right,
working on
that.
His
we'll
email right now.
And grumpily. All right, we'll be back with part 2 of Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, right here on WHMP.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Ram. Hi.
Hi. You know, we were just talking about Pablo the pirate cat, who started out in our show for 5 or 6 year olds to 10 year olds. And I just want to say that Pablo has become so beloved already that Pablo's going to grow up a little bit, I think, and maybe be Dr. Finwell's sidekick in the programs. So, and I hear a rumor that in September, Pablo is filling in for you for the time that we're doing a show.
Oh, I love it. All right.
Yeah. So Pablo
taking over my job over here.
Just for a day, Pablo is going to come and fill in for you. And I'm looking forward to having that conversation with Pablo. That'll be fun.
He saw a problem and filled it. So I hope you're paying him.
Well, Pablo really likes his treats.
Yeah.
He got paid in pirate booty last time I saw him, actually. He did. Okay.
I love it.
It's too much fun. So I hope that this is relatable for people, 11 to 15 years old. We're just young people at that age, and we need to know these kinds of things. And it's not taught in the schools usually. So we're trying to do our part here. All right. I told you I'd tell you a few stories. Here's another story.
Okay.
The $200 mistake. Okay.
Oh boy.
Alex gets a debit card at age 15. He feels like he's got it down. He's the boss, right, Alex?
Yeah.
But he doesn't track his spending, which we just talked about. Mm-hmm. So just a few of those $5 buys, like, hey, it's only $5, might not be a problem. But if you don't track your spending, guess what happens? Overdraft fees.
This is the same thing that happens at 45.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not talking down to people this age because they are smart. They can learn this stuff and they're basically sponges. You know, it's their job to learn right now. And so when we give them the tools like this, they learn things that they go home and tell their parents, hey, you better check your balance before you spend or you're going to get those overdraft fees.
Right. And you end up getting in a hole with those very quickly.
Yeah, $35 a pop, right?
Yeah, I think that should be illegal.
Well, they're working on that maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
So $35 a pop. If you do this just 3 times in a week, $35 times 3 is $105.
Yeah.
For nothing. For nothing, Jess. You just
Yeah.
gave it up because you didn't check your balance before you spent the money. If you add to that, $25 in $5 buys, you're at $130, right? Oh, only $25 of that bought you anything. The other 105 went to the bank, all because you didn't check your balance before you spent the money, right? You had
I
something.
think that yeah, I do. I think that technology is so great, especially with money. It moves us forward, and being able to wire stuff and doing things instantly is great. But there is something to be said about when you had a checkbook and you had to write down like minus whatever the amount was so you knew what it was. And I think so few people do that anymore, do they?
It's absolutely true. We all say you can look at your digital balance, right? You can always get it on your phone or whatever. So if you're really going to do that and that works for you, fabulous. Do it, right? But
Yeah.
if not, if you understand yourself and you say, I know myself, I'm going to buy this stuff and I'm not going to check my balance, then get one of those paper checkbooks, or I don't care if you keep a log in your phone, however you do it, and
Yeah.
just do it. Physically reduce your balance by the amount of money you spent. Subtract that purchase from your balance, because there is a connection in your brain when you write things down, or even
Yeah.
when you type them in, right? I think it's stronger when you write it, but let's be realistic, right? A lot of people are just going to type it in or talk it in, right? I don't care how you do it. Just start forming the habit of checking that balance. So here's a rule. Check your balance before you spend. When? Always. Okay.
Yeah.
I have very wealthy clients who never check their balances because they don't care. There's always enough money there.
Well, the
But
other hard part too is that sometimes places like gas stations will hold it for like 3 days. So you might look at your digital balance and think, oh, this looks all right, but the $75 from gas hasn't come out yet.
what a great point. Spoken like a true parent.
Or somebody that this has happened to more than once.
Love it. I love it. I was saying I have wealthy clients who don't care what they spend because they don't check their balance. They don't care. There's always enough money there. But sooner or later, it happens. They
Yeah.
look at their account and they say, "What? How? Why is my balance this amount?" And then they start
Yeah.
asking their partners. And so it's really easy to do. Just form the habit now while you're young. Always check your balance before you spend money. It takes 2 seconds. It'll save you a lot of money. Companies make billions. Billions with a B of dollars on people who don't pay attention to their money. If you don't manage your money, I promise you someone else will, and you won't like it.
Right,
Okay.
yeah.
All right. Here's a multiplier challenge. All right, little quick math for kids. Multiplier challenge. If you have a dollar and you double it every day for 30 days, how big does that dollar get? How much money is that? Any idea, Jess?
No, it's over 100, though, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. If you take a dollar and double it every day one, you've got a dollar, day two, you've got
Dollar.
two, day three, you've got four, right?
Four, then eight,
Day,
16.
yep, by
Yeah.
day 10, you have $1,024.
Oh.
By day 20, over a million. And by 30, over $1 billion. You can do the math. It's
Okay.
a fun math to do. Now, in real life, interest isn't that wild, right? But the idea matters. The idea matters. So let me give you a real world multiplier challenge. If you got that first one, like, wow, double a dollar. We used to do it with pennies. Right now you do it with dollars. A real world multiplier challenge. Start with $10 and learn to flip it, right? Learn to double that in some way. Sell candy at an event. Flip a thrift find, right? You go to one of those inexpensive stores and you find something that you know is worth a lot more than it is there, and you buy it and you sell it, right? You could do a small service, like I was talking about, maybe shoveling a sidewalk or walking a neighbor's dog or babysitting or anything, even with your parents. You could say, you know what, I'm wanting to earn some money. What if I started doing the dishes after dinner? Could that earn me a little money? And see how surprised and willing they are to, you know, it's got to be something that you're not already expected to do. It's got to be something.
I've got to say a fun thing that I did with the kids, and it's a great time of year to do it. Everyone's doing tag sales. So we were going to do a tag sale or go to like a flea market tag sale. And I said, go through your stuff.
Yep.
Figure out what you want to get rid of. You can price it at whatever you want. You come and sit at the table and you can haggle with people over the price. And they made $31 and they were so excited.
Yay. I love it. Okay. Yeah. And then what do you do with the $31? Three jars. Spend, save, share, right?
Yep. Okay. I've got to say one saved it, one bought herself earrings.
We got a story about that actually. Okay. Yeah. So just to get through this one pretty quickly, you know, it won't double perfectly every time, but $10 mm-hmm. gets to be 20. And the purpose of all of this is if you can learn how to do this, that's a real superpower. If you can learn how to grow money, it's a real superpower. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the growth zone for a second. How to make money on your money. Okay.
Okay.
We're talking about interest. There's only two kinds of interest, good interest and bad interest. Okay. Good interest is the stuff you earn from investing. Bad interest is the stuff you have to pay because you borrowed money and waited to pay it back. Right. So, you know, we've just gone over some ideas of good interest if you want to grow your money. So let's say you put $100 away for a year at 5%. You're going to take 100 and multiply it times 1.05. That's how you get the 5% growth. That's going to grow to $105 in a year, 5% on 100, right? Maybe that doesn't seem like much, but by year two, you're now earning money on that $105 because you get to earn interest on interest. We call it compounding interest, okay? So now year two, you're at $110.25. By year five, you're at $127.63. All I'm really saying is if you put $100 somewhere and left it there at 5%, just didn't spend it, just stuck it there and forgot about it, in 5 years, you would have earned $27 on that $100 without doing another thing. Mm-hmm. And those are real world numbers. You can get 5% on money right now, right? Yeah. So those are real world numbers. All right. That's all that really means is how you're growing that money over time. I told you I had a story. I don't want to run out of time, but I told you I had a story about two girls, two 14-year-olds, who one spent money and one didn't, right? So I just want to say the ideas we're talking about, they're not flashy. Like that growing interest, it's not flashy, but it's automatic. $127 in 5 years, it's automatic. The point is you set it up once and you just let it go, right? Let time help you. The one thing these kids have going for them, the biggest thing is they're young.
They're young. Yeah.
They're young. And everybody says save when you're young. But we all know when we start to save at 20, it's almost impossible. We're trying to buy houses and cars and pay for our student loans, right? Start saving when you're really young. And then you might have some gap years. I don't want you to, but you might have some gap years when you can't do it. Okay. So here's a big takeaway story. Two 14-year-olds, okay? One spends every dollar. The other buys earrings, right? the other saves some money, right? So the other splits it. Spends some on some fun stuff, saves some, and shares a little, right? Mm-hmm. Fast forward 5 years. One has memories of stuff they can barely remember what they bought, right? Mm-hmm. And the other has some cash saved from choosing needs versus wants, right?
Yeah.
And some great memories of things that they bought thoughtfully. Maybe they saved up a little and they bought a bike or they bought, you know, something that was important to them. And that really mattered rather than some French fries and a Coke, right? Mm-hmm. And they have the freedom to do more. So they still have great memories of things they've bought because they've apportioned their money between save, spend, and share. They have the memories of things they bought. They have some money for the future, like which buys them some freedom, like starting a side hustle or a little business or something, or planning for a bigger goal. So in the end, I just want to make this major point, okay? Money isn't just about buying things. Let me repeat that, kids. Money isn't just about buying things. What it's about is buying freedom.
Mm.
Okay, that's what money does for you. Some of it comes in the form of things, you know, a car, a house, whatever. It makes you feel like you're accomplishing things. And some of it comes in the form of being able to save for the future and share when you need to or want to. And that requires the freedom to do so. If you always spend every dollar you have, you are spending your freedom.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, the earlier you learn this stuff, the easier your financial life is going to be. And for the 11 to 15-year-olds or even other age groups that are listening to this show, I'm very proud of you because you are starting right now. And that's the key. Just start. Just do one thing, but start building some smart money habits. Pablo will be proud of you.
All right, let's get your phone number because I'm sure people will have questions.
Of course. It's 413-773-3333.
And can you share, too, where people can find the Pablo series?
Yeah, they can find Pablo the Pirate Cat on YouTube, on Amazon, on Apple, anywhere you get your podcast. But the YouTube is probably the easiest. Just go type in Pablo the Pirate Cat. You're probably going to get him. Or Hug Your Money. We have a YouTube channel you can find him at. Pablo's getting an email. Pablo@hugyourmoney.com. For kids this age, if you want to send an email with questions, you can send it to Pablo@hugyourmoney.com.
And parents, if you're listening now, check it out with your kid because they're going to love it. Pablo is really cute to look at. And he's got his little pirate's chest there with his money and a very grumpy expression, but he's a really cute cat.
His expression changes. Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
All right. HugYourMoney.com. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jess. My pleasure. Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by
Hug Your Money, that's where you belong. Your future's waiting steady and strong. Dignity shines in the smallest dream. Permission granted to chase.
Will you help us spread the word about financial fitness? Please like, subscribe, and choose all. Thank you.